And then it says this, then they shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. You know, the Gentiles that enter the millennium, the Jews that come through the tribulation, there will be children born in the millennium. And they will have a testimony of several people. They have the testimony of their saved parents and grandparents. Because many generations will go on, all Israel goes in saved, so they're not a problem, their children become the problem. That's not a problem, we shouldn't say that, children are never a problem. But sometimes they can be. That will be their problem to teach. And the responsibility of Israel will come back to teaching their children the right way. There will be great responsibilities. The world will begin to flourish again. You think of a 1,000-year kingdom with death at its very minimum, people living to old ages. You know, what does it say in Isaiah that a person dying at 100 will be considered a child? And I look at saying people who are 100 and I think, not for me, thanks. That seems too far away still and too hard to get there. There will be longevity of life. The world's population will accelerate. No death through wars. You think of all the wars that have taken so many of people around the world. The plagues, you know, the Black Plague devastated Europe. I think something like 70% of England, or figures up in that number, were killed by the Black Plague. We've had terrible judgments on the earth in a sense. Not so in the millennium. Those will see the righteousness of God. So, let's try and just bring together a close. The role of the church in the millennium. One, to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a good statement for us today. We ought to be doing the same thing today in our lives. But do our lives bring glory to Christ? You know, that's an example of where we work, where we go to the people we're in contact with. Do people see Christ in us? Do the lives we live mirror the Lord Jesus Christ? I fear some don't. Many do. But there are people I know, and I look at their activities and I say, not a good testimony for the Lord. If you're the Lord's, why are you doing those things? Why are you involved in these things? We have to be careful, because one day the world will see us and bring glory to Christ. Why not start it now? The second thing is, of course, we'll share in that millennial reign of Christ. And we'll be privileged to see the operation of justice around the world. That's what we all cry for, don't we? We cry for justice. We cry for justice in our legal systems. We cry for justice for people who are being oppressed in lands all around the world today. Justice will be established on a worldwide basis, and we will be able to share in that. Thirdly, to share in the administration of the kingdom. In the parable, of course, we saw that we shall be given authority and rulership in that kingdom. What that will involve, I have no idea. Maybe there's a task that the Lord's got for me somewhere and for you. Everyone will share. Our brother brought out something about the judgment seat of Christ that I am. Of course, there will be rewards. Will those rewards will those rewards determine the amount of responsibility God gives us? I think it does. There will be some end of the kingdom with no reward. Saved, but no reward. And maybe that will be a testimony to them that they should have done more for the Lord, although that may not be in the past. But you know, we measure success sometimes by how much publicity or how much up front we get. You know, when we were at our assembly in Victoria, we had a little lady in our fellowship, Mrs. Toby. She was no higher than that. In fact, she used to sit down the front seat, and her feet were about that much short of the ground. Very quiet little lady. But you know, she had one of the most amazing ministries in our fellowship that you could ever imagine. She knew the birthday of every young person in the fellowship. And we had quite a lot. We had about 60 young people. She knew all the exams they sat for. She knew all the things they were going through. And her ministry was praying for them. When Mrs. Toby died, that fellowship lost a tremendous powerhouse. You see, sometimes our ministry is not as open as that. Our brother mentioned his first jobs were sweeping out the church, grabbing a broom. It's a ministry for the Lord. Ministry is not how important it is. Ministry is how faithful you are in it. That's the key to it. How faithful are you to the Lord? We will have the privilege of sharing in that millennial kingdom. It will have many wonderful blessings, but the best to me is that we will still be the bride of Christ. He will have great affection. That's what it tells us there in Ephesians, that it is a picture. Let me read Ephesians 5 so that I get the words exactly right. Ephesians 5, at the very end of the chapter, it says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Tell you about earthly marriage. But then he says this, "This is a great mystery." So here's one of the great mysteries of the New Testament, a previously unrevealed truth that's now being revealed. "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." So he's going to talk about the relationship of Christ to his church. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. As a husband and wife come together and join, they become one flesh." So the picture is us with Christ at that great marriage there of the Lamb. We've come into a relationship that is as dear and precious as a relationship between husband and wife should be, I mention. Sometimes, sadly, it isn't, but it should be. We need, what a blessing that is to each one of us. The millennial kingdom, yes, is not for us. It is to fulfill the promises of God to his people. You know, all through, as I said, it has been promised to the nation. That's what Jeremiah 31:31-34 tells us. He makes a new covenant with the nation of Israel. And that new covenant is not only a covenant of peace, it is a covenant of forgiveness, and it's a covenant of blessing in the millennial kingdom. God wants to bless his people. So sad today that we live in an age where still, for many, the nation of Israel, their eyes are still blinded to the truth because they rejected Christ. Some are finding Christ. Praise God for everyone that does. But for many in the nation, their eyes have been blinded to this wonderful truth. One day God will strip the blindness away and the nation will be able to enjoy that millennial kingdom should they come to faith in Christ. But today, of course, they'll enjoy it as the church. It's the strange thing, isn't it? They will enjoy it as the church of Jesus Christ. They'll swap allegiance, if you like, and they'll become quite of the church. But in a future day, in the tribulation, the remnant of Israel will be saved, and God will bless them in that millennial kingdom. Well, as I said, there's not too much about the church in the millennium, but I trust it gives us a picture of the things that we will be involved with and how God will use us to his glory. And remember, it's all to his glory. We're designed as believers in Christ to bring glory to Christ, not to honour ourselves.